turn with me, if you would, for a short time this evening, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we wish to look at the beginning of this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in his ways. And so on. Psalm 119, from the beginning of the psalm, looking at the words, blessed are the undefiled, and so on. This evening we wish to consider the opening verses of Psalm 119. Throughout the psalm, you have a distinction that is made. A distinction between, in many respects, God's way and the devil's way. The way of the Lord and the way of the world. And it begins by pointing to us who are the blessed. Who are blessed. Who are happy. Who are blessed. Now men today so often seek to be blessed. They seek to be happy. They seek that things will be well with them. The trouble is they look in all the wrong places and they try all the wrong things in order to achieve it. But the psalmist lays before us who it is that are truly blessed. You remember the Lord on when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, he himself. No wonder they said, you know, no man spake like this man, because he was able to tell them exactly who it was that was blessed. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. Blessed are when you are persecuted for my name, in my name's sake, and he is able to say who is blessed. And the psalmist here brings out who it is that is blessed. It is the one who is undefiled. They keep his testimonies. They seek the Lord with all their heart. Now, you immediately recognize that man by nature doesn't do that. Man by nature doesn't do that. Man in his fallen human state is not blessed that way. And even when you get the Lord Jesus Christ himself entering into the synagogue, as we saw this morning, even when you have the scriptures open and he preaches to them from himself, from Isaiah chapter 61, they're offended at him. Even the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've often said this, haven't we? You can have the most powerful preacher, the prince of preachers in front of you. You can have the greatest preacher that you've ever heard of. You can have Spurgeon. You can have the Lord himself. And yet, sinners won't be saved. Because it's not the power of the preaching that's necessary. It's a new birth that's necessary. Not that you would have great preaching, and we all want to have wonderful preaching, we want powerful preaching, but that's of no use unless you've ears to hear and a heart to understand. Here's the man that is blessed. He's the man that seeks with all his heart the things of God. You say that this evening. whatever else in this world you seek, whatever else in this world is of importance to you, you go to your job, your job is important to you, your work is important to you, your studies are important to you, your family is important to you, what you have in this world is important to you, all these things are important to you. But above all, do you seek the Lord with all your heart? Son, daughter, give me thine heart. Well, there is the man that is blessed, and we are told that he is the one that walks in God's way. See what he says here. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? What is the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is basically his word. What he has revealed to us in his word. It's the law of the Lord. Not walking in the way that you think you ought to walk. Not walking in the way that I think you ought to walk, but walking in the way that the Lord would have you to walk. Walking in the law of the Lord. You go to the mound up in Edinburgh there. What a change there is in our land, where you have a statue of one man, and what's he standing holding? Standing like that, holding a Bible. The law of the Lord. The Bible. The law of the Lord. There are certain things that the psalmist himself says regarding the law of the Lord. Why is it that we should walk in the law of the Lord? Well, when you look through the psalm, you will discover that he actually uses certain expressions through the psalm to describe the law of the Lord. He speaks, for example, in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. There it is. The law of the Lord is his testimonies. It is what God himself has set before us. His testimonies, it's the law of God. That the testimony there takes you back, doesn't it, to Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 25. And there the Lord says to Israel, put the testimony within the ark. Put the law within the ark. Cover it with a mercy seat. Because you know you're not going to keep God's law perfectly. You're not going to keep his testimonies, are you? You need to put that testimony under the ark so that it is covered by the mercy seat. So that it's covered. And it will be sprinkled by the blood of the offering. You see, the psalmist and in the Old Testament believer wasn't saved simply by keeping the law any more than you and I can be kept by keeping the law. Paul makes that plain when he comes to speak about faith in Romans. He says, how was Abraham saved? Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah. It's all by faith. And the testimony was to be placed under the ark, in the ark, an ark placed under the mercy seat, and the sprinkling of the blood. My friend, who is it alone that is able to keep the testimony of the law? Who is it alone that is able to do the will of the Father? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is able to perfectly fulfill the law. And it is as it is under the mercy seat that we are accepted and justified in his sight. The law of the Lord is his testimony. It's the testimony of the Lord. There's a second thing that the way in which he, he describes it. He described it in verse 27, you'll see it, but even you'll see it before you get there. He says, thy precepts. In verse 4 he says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Verse 27, you'll find it again. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You see, God's law is not only the testimony of God, it is his precepts. And when the psalmist speaks about it being his precepts, he's speaking there as God's law which must be obeyed. They are the precepts of God. Men have a conscience and they know that they're accountable to God. When you push men, there's not such a thing really as an atheist. There's not such a thing as an atheist. Because they know fine well that they're accountable before a holy God. And when the psalmist here speaks about thy precepts, let me to understand thy precepts. Let me to understand thy testimony. What thou art commanding me to do. What thou art instructing me to do. That's what it means for the precept. Do you come to God's testimony? Do you come to God's word and you pray before you open the word and say, Lord, show me wondrous things out of thy law. Show me what my duty is. Show me what I have to do. Perhaps it's your duty this evening. Perhaps God's law, perhaps his testimony is yet pointing you to Christ. You have yet to flee unto Christ and to come to him that you would be saved. Perhaps that's what God is saying to you this evening. Because there's God's way and there's the devil's way. There's God's way and there's the world's way. And God commands all men everywhere to repent, to believe the gospel. It's his precepts. Perhaps you're a Christian this evening. Do you come to God's word and you say, search the scriptures, and you say, do you come and you say, what is my duty? What is God saying to me? What is God commanding me to do? How is God seeking for me to live? What does he expect of me every day? Not what does my boss or what is my work or what do other people expect of me? That might be the case, but above all, what does God demand of you, my Christian friend, this evening? As you begin another week and as we are entered into a new year and all the resolutions that people make, what is God demanding of you as a Christian? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. It's his testimony. It's his precepts. But there's another word that is used. And I think you'll find it in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You see? The psalmist uses his testimony. They are his precepts. And now he says, mentions this a few times, they are thy statutes. What does he mean when he says they're the statutes? The testimony is, they're his testimony. These are God's, these laws belong to God. His precepts means that he is telling us and demanding of us what he requires from us. But now he says, they are my statutes. What does that mean? Well, the word statutes basically mean they are unchanging. They are unchanging. Man changes. Man changes. And the laws of man change. Here are God's unalterable, unchangeable laws. His unchangeable law. It is the Word of God that is unchanging. You come to an end of another year, you enter into a new year. Man changes, you change, man's thinking certainly changes. Changes from day to day. But God, no. They are His statutes. And they're binding, therefore, on all men. These are the same statutes that were there in the days of the apostles. I'm going back to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to the psalmist, right up to our own day, to every man, it doesn't matter whatever time, whatever man, whatever class of man, whether they be rich or poor, wherever they come from, these are God's unalterable statutes. And the psalmist's desire above all else is that he would walk in them. Is that your desire this evening? A new year, and is it your desire that you would walk in the statutes, the precepts, the testimonies of our Lord, of God? That as the Word of God is set before you, Lord, help me that I would, as the psalmist here says, that I would understand thy word, that I would discern thy word, and I would walk in thy statutes. In other words, as Peter says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. That I will not walk in the ways of the world, I will not walk in the way of Satan, but that I will walk in the ways of the Lord. Is that your great desire? Well, the psalmist, you know, knew that there was the contrary side. During the psalm, he warns about the ways, he says, of lying. In verse 29, he says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Now the word, when he speaks there about lying, it's almost going back to what he says in verse 1 about being undefiled. What does he mean by lying? He's not just talking here about telling lies. That's not what he's particularly talking about. He's talking about living a life that's like the Pharisee. That is a Pharisee. Let my life be such that I will not lie before the Lord. That I will not live a life that is a lie before God. Do you know when you come to the New Testament? There was one group that received from the Lord His greatest rebuke of all, and that was the Pharisee, who thought that he could deceive God and thought that he could deceive the Lord Jesus Christ. A pretense in religion. The psalmist says, keep me from lying lips. Keep me from a lying life. Keep me from pretense when it comes to religion. But let me seek thee with all my heart. With all my heart. So he seeks that even in these early verses there. With my whole heart, he says, I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. My friend, what is that for a New Year's resolution? That we would strive to seek the Lord with all our heart. And that we would not have a pretense or Ananias and Sapphira Remember when they were brought into the presence of the disciples, you know. Peter, why hast thou sought to lie unto the Holy Ghost? They thought that God didn't see their heart. They thought that God didn't know where they were. The way of lying. But there's a second thing that the psalmist here is, well, it's not just the way of lying. It's an evil way. Look at what he says in verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. What is the psalmist here? Evil way. These three things, if one is the Pharisee, the other is idolatry. An evil way, the evil way of Jeroboam, that raised up an idol and bowed down before the idol. My friend, what's your idol? What idol do we bow down before? What's the idol that you raise up in your own heart and you bow down before him? The Lord will not give his glory to any other. He won't give his glory to another. Lord, if we have a resolution that we will seek the Lord with all our heart, then here's a prayer for the new year. Lord, keep me from my idols. Keep me from idolatry. Keep me from placing anything between the Lord and myself and my soul. Anything you place before God, that's an idol. Lord, let me walk in thy statutes. Let me walk according to thy word. Keep me from the lying lips and the ways of lying, and keep me from idols, from the evil way of Jeroboam. And he also speaks, he goes on to speak, and well, not, but he speaks about any false way. Any false way. Keep me from any false way. That is trusting to our own understanding. Keep me from any false way that would take me away from thy truth. Our own understanding of this, that, and the other. How easy it is, isn't it? We spoke this morning about they were offended at Jesus because he was the carpenter. And there he is, the creator of heaven and earth. They're offended at his mother. And there is his mother, the embodiment of the fact that he is of the tribe of Judah, descended from David, going right back to Adam. He is the seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent. And there are his brothers. And our own understanding? Did Jesus have brothers? Well, if you believe in the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was sinless, then you have to believe that Jesus had no brothers. And then you have to believe in the assumption, because Mary couldn't die if she was sinless. You see how it goes? Our own understanding? None of it according to God's word? There are his brothers. And they're offended at his brothers. And Jesus says, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? There they are, those who do the will of the Father. That's not the false way of trusting in our own understanding, that's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and bowing at his feet and at his word. We do not stand in judgment of God's word. We put ourselves under God's word. Because if we put ourselves above God's word, it's the false way that the psalmist says, keep me from the false way. Keep me from lying lips, from the evil way, from a false way. Read a sermon, and this man spoke about God's way, devil's way, but then he says, and our way. Our way. What is your way? How is it that you are to be blessed in this world and in this life? How is it that you're going to be blessed? How is it that you're going to walk in the law of the Lord? How is it that you are going to walk in God's way? Well, how do you do that? Well, we must recognize that our life is open before the eyes of God. Do you recognize that at the beginning of a year? That everything you did in 2014, 2013, everything you did since the day and hour you were born up until this time, it's all open before God. God sees it all. Look at what he says in verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. The Lord knew exactly the heart of the psalmist. And my friend, the same God who knew the heart of the psalmist knows your heart tonight as well. How are you going to walk in the ways of the Lord? You must first of all acknowledge that God knows every single sin that you've committed, not just in 2014, but every sin that you've committed this very day. For all my ways are before thee. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? It's only when you become aware of that, the searching word of Christ and the searching eye of the Lord, that you really begin to know. That's the starting point. Because it's there that it's not only that you discover the Lord knows your ways, it's there that you begin with verse 59. I thought in my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Have you turned your feet to the testimonies of the Lord? And have you confessed your sins before him? The psalmist knew that. You can go to verse 26. And he confesses his sins to the Lord. Lord, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. And I can't keep thy laws. The Lord, bless me. And as he says in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We come to God's word. And the Lord, by his grace, bringing us into that union and fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, we are cleansed and we are washed from our sins. And he enables us, doesn't leave us there. All people think that you know, you come to Jesus Christ and that's your sins forgiven and that's you're now a Christian and that's the end of it. The Lord is going to leave you when you are. Not at all. Look what he says in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. You need direction, don't you? You need not only to know his statutes, you need the power of God's grace in your life to direct you and to enable you to walk in the ways of the Lord. To walk in his statutes, to know his precepts, to know his testimonies, his testimony, and to enable you to walk therein. Have you begun to walk? You may sit and listen, you see. But you need to go out and walk. It's a sign that God, by his grace, has dealt with you when you get up and you begin to walk. And you walk in his statutes. Remember how the Lord Jesus put it. Beware, he says, of those and to those who walk in the broad open road that leads to destruction. But seek you out the narrow path that leadeth unto life. That's what God's grace does, you see. How many a testimony there is of Christians, of men who before were here, and by God's grace their lives are turned right around, and now from walking in the road to destruction, they are now walking in the road to glory. To Emmanuel's land. That's the destination. When you walk somewhere, you don't walk just idly, you know. God directs you. And God has a place for you to go. God is directing the feet of the Christian. And the Christian is walking in the testimonies and in the law of the Lord. And he's bringing him to glory. That's the final destination that God has for his people. You have a purpose in your life. You know, the unbeliever, the worldly one, the atheist, if you like, the humanist, all these peoples, they have no purpose to life. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die, and after death there's nothing anyway. And that to me is a purposeless. No, so the Christian. The Christian has God's word. He's got it in his heart. And he knows that as he walks, then he stumbles, and he knows that there is sin there. He knows, but there's not that sin that will, you know, his desire is that he will walk in the law of the Lord. That's his great desire. Is that your desire as you come to the 2015? They also do iniquity. They walk in his ways. They don't do iniquity that would take them away from the Lord. They know that they sin. You know that you have sin in your life. You know that you can come and you can confess your sins. And when you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But my friend, is it your desire, above all, that you would please your God? You can only please God when by his grace you are born again. And by his grace, being born again, you are in Christ. You're safe. You're safe. Like Noah in the ark, you're safe. You're safe. And now, as you walk in this life, now you have God's law. Now it doesn't come to you as a covenant of works. Do this or you die. It's now given to you the word of God and God's testimony, his precepts. His statutes are given to you, these unchanging statutes of the Lord, that he says, this is the way. He comes and he hands it to you in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, your loving Saviour. He says, now, he says, go. Go, he says, and sin no more. On you go. Live for God's glory. Is that not what holiness is, isn't it? You ask for a definition of holiness. Holiness is to be separated unto God. Something. It's a holy Bible. It's a book that is separated. It's different from every other book. It's God's book. There is a holy people. They are separated unto God. They are God's people. The Christian is separated to Christ. You belong to him. I am yours. You are mine. Here are my statutes. He gives them to you in love. And in love, you now seek to be obedient to what the Lord says. And you know something? There are two things. When you strive to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that you're not conformed to this world. You can't have two masters. You're either conformed to Christ or you're conformed to the world. You're conformed to Christ. And secondly, when you are conformed to Christ and when you seek to live to the glory of Christ, you won't receive the applause of this world or the people of this world. You may in fact receive the worst words out of their mouths against you. In fact, you may be in a country where you would be put in prison, where you would be persecuted, where you even may be put to death. But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the undefiled. Blessed are those who walk in the ways of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his commandments and his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. 2015. Let us seek the Lord with all our heart. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that thou would enable us by thy grace to look unto thee. Of ourselves we would be away from thee. Of ourselves we have no power to do thy will or to follow thee. We bless thee that thy people are made willing in a day of thy power. By thy grace they are brought into thy kingdom. And by thy grace they hear the voice of the King, his statutes, his testimonies that are unchanging. We pray and ask, O Lord, this evening that thou would bless each one of us according to the needs that we have. Undertake for us in the rest of this evening. Pardon us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.